Well, happy St. Patrick's Day. I've got a little bit of Irish in me. I think it's about 40% England, 20% Ireland, 20% Scottish and Scotland, and 10% National American. Wait, anyway, there's some Irish blood in there somewhere. So happy St. Patrick's Day. Yes, I am wearing a tie today. Thank you for noticing. And you will also notice that that's the only green I have on. And so that could be something that was a deciding factor about whether or not to wear a tie today. Just saying. So glad to have you today. Glad to have all of our friends worshiping with us online. We appreciate your presence today as well. And I want us to ask a question. Am I connected with the church? And think about what that means, because that's what we're going to be speaking of today. Am I connected with the church? And must I be connected with the church in order to be pleasing to God? That's a serious question and a little bit different twist on that. Can I be faithful to God without being connected to His church? Should I be connected to the church? Not now we move from being commanded by God, which I believe it is, but laying that aside for a moment, should I be? Is it good for me and for others to be connected to God's church? We've been speaking in this series about connecting with the culture without deleting the church, and that is a hard thing to do. Appreciate our shepherd Wade Weathers in his prayer today and talking about the different things that actually some in our culture would deny, such as the eternal nature of God, His infinity before us and after us, and creation and how that all came out. I can tell you, brother, that I'm okay with the Big Bang Theory. It goes like this: God said it and bang, there it was. That'll work for me. I'll let science figure out all the details, but that part I know, whatever that looks like. Connecting with the culture without deleting the church. The church is the pillar and foundation of the truth, as we have said in this series. The body of Christ, the family of believers, the saved. We'll come back to all of those things in just a little bit as we speak about the answer to those questions. Do I need to be connected with God's church? We've spoken in the last few weeks about good news versus bad news. We have good news to share. We should get on with it and share it. About connecting with our culture rather than ignoring them or even avoiding them. That's not what God has called us to do. And about the transforming nature of the gospel. How we're not to be conformed to the pattern of this world. How we're not to let the world squeeze us into its mold. But rather, we are to be transformed, and we are to be a transforming presence to our culture. And if that's the way we're supposed to be, and that's what we are called to do, somehow or another, we've got to be able to connect with that culture. But if we're going to be a transforming presence for Christ, then we must connect with that culture without deleting the church, without deleting Jesus Christ, without deleting the truth. But you can't delete something with which you're not connected. Connecting with the culture without deleting the church, that statement assumes that what? We're connected with the church already. And so the call is to try to be that transforming presence in our culture and to our culture without deleting the church that is such an important part of our lives. And it begs the question as we begin, is the church an important part of my life? That's the question. And I think for most all of us, because we're here today, it's an indication that it is. Because you're watching online, it's an indication that it is. But is it? It's more than just warming a pew. It's more than just watching online. To be connected means more than just attending. To be connected means being engaged in the life and ministry of the church. A lot of the people who study churches and church growth and research churches, especially in this country, do that for a living and talk to hundreds and hundreds and perhaps thousands of churches and thousands of church leaders, have decided and have called us to consider that question, the question of engagement, more so even than attendance. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. COVID has called us to emphasize those who are present, but also those who are online. And I think that's good. Our church, West Irwin Church of Christ, to our the credit of those of us, those of our group that are in our IT part, our technology part, we were already doing the live stream services before COVID actually shut us down. We hadn't been doing it real long, but we had been doing it for a while. But then when that hit, it was all online for several weeks, and then we started coming back and drifting back and drifting back. I think the first Sunday we were back in person, it was like 95 in attendance. It had gone down from over 400 to 95. And we've been steadily growing and growing and adding a little bit here and a little bit there, and we're not quite at 400. We're perhaps at about 300, a little less on the average. What does that tell us? Well, that tells us that some people didn't come back. Some people not only have disconnected with the church, they have just completely shut that down. And I think the question for us in this auditorium today is, am I still connected? Am I still engaged with the church? And for those of you who are watching online, the question is the same. Are you still connected with the church? But even more so, are you engaged with the church? And I can tell you that my personal belief is if you're staying home just because it's easier, just because you're comfortable with it, it's become the new normal, that's a problem. That's a problem. And I hope that you hear as we speak through this today that we need you to be here if you can. I know there are some that can't. I get it. And would do anything in their world to be here in person and simply cannot. And I also know there are many that are here today who also struggle just to be here. I think it's a good call today for us to take a look at our hearts and ask ourselves, am I engaged with the church? More than just attending, either in person or online, but engaged, actively participating in the life and ministry of the church. It's going to look different for different people, of course, but there's going to be things you can point to and say, yes, yes, here's how I'm engaged. Here's what I'm doing. It's more than just I want to be a worker for the Lord, although that's where it starts. And I specifically asked Rusty to lead that song, and I appreciate it so much. And by the way, well done. And do you know that that song is not in our songbooks? I know. What? Right? But we sing, I want to be a worker for the Lord, and so do we act on that? That's the question. And briefly, to us as church leaders, there are many of our number, of our congregation, of those that are out here, those that are on our list, those that are on our rolls, who actually sing that song and sing it honestly. I want to be a worker for the Lord, but I don't know how. And I've tried, I've reached out to some people, and I have trouble finding my place. And for us, especially as church leaders, that's our role, is to equip each other to do the work of God, to be workers for the Lord. And if you're struggling with that, then please talk to one of our ministers, talk to one of our elders, talk to one of our deacons, because we want you to be engaged, not just to attend, but to be engaged. We need you to be engaged. To be connected means being engaged in the life and ministry of the church. Are you a member of the church today? We'll ask that question at the end. Are you connected with the church? Are you engaged in the church's life and ministry? So a few questions as we consider these things today. First of all, do I really need to be connected with the church? I mean, do I need that? There's so much else going on in my lives. My family is super active. My job takes a lot out of me. I've got all these personal concerns in my life. Do I really need to be connected with the church? And a couple of reasons to say yes. First of all, You need the church. You need the church. I don't know if you know that or not. Probably by the fact that you're here, present or online, is an indication that you likely understand that. But I want us to be reminded today, you need the church. And that's why you really need to be connected with the church. I think of a couple of really good friends, a few really good friends. One here, one couple here, and two couples that are not members here, but are connected to our lives, to Joyce and my life, and to many others that are here today. And they're two couples, and they're ministry couples, Grady and Karen King, and Jim and Sue Hackney. Jim was a longtime preacher at the Midtown Church of Christ in Fort Worth. They moved to the north side of the town and became the Heritage Church of Christ, and he was a minister there for decades. And Jim is now struggling with his health, so much so that he needs help getting up, getting into the car. Grady and Karen King experienced the same thing. Grady, the picture of health, strong, active in ministry with churches all around the world, really, but especially in this country. And then everything just went down, and went down hard, and went down fast to where they weren't sure he was going to survive. And he's still not back to where he was. You need the church. We think of Stan and Judy Clark and everything that they've been through and are still worshiping online because they can't be here. He can't be here. But believe me, they are connected with this church and they are engaged with this church because they know they need this church. And so many of you have reached out to them and to others that have been on our prayer list over the last months and are on it even still. You need the church. Let me tell you, we've been through some very difficult things as well in our childhood, Joyce's and mine, and certainly in our young married life and throughout our marriage, throughout our lives. And believe me, there are times when we have gone through things and I have wondered out loud, how do people who don't have a church family get through something like this? How do they do it? I can't imagine. I can't imagine facing these burdens and these struggles without a church family. And it doesn't mean that everybody knows about it, but it does mean that a few know. You need the church. Do I really need to be connected with the church? Well, you probably guessed the next one. Just as you need the church needs you. We need you. We need you. We need you to be here. We need you to be connected. We need you to be engaged. Eric mentioned our Leadership Training for Christ, LTC, that our kids, third grade through 12th grade, their parents, the coaches, they've all been working on for months, literally months. And that will happen on Easter Sunday weekend in Dallas, Texas, as they share wonderful things to the glory of God. Bible quiz, working, studying through Scripture in a focused way, drama, chorus, puppets, so many other things, song leading, Scripture reading. It's a marvelous, one of the most incredible things in helping our young people connect with the church and connect with the Bible and hone their gifts. Because the church needs them. The church needs you. And don't let us get away with saying y'all are the church of tomorrow. That's not true. You're the church of today. You're the leaders of the church of tomorrow. That's true. But you are very much the church of today, and it's up to the rest of us to try to help you get there. The church needs you to do that. Next Sunday evening would be a great opportunity for you to pat these kids on the back and give them some encouragement. Myron mentioned our young at heart, a little bit more on the other side. And that's an area-wide thing. This Thursday night is not just our group together, but it's area-wide. It's several different churches involved, and that's why we've made a special call for help. And the church needs you to help in those ways. We see that in so many other ways, so many areas of the life and ministry of this church. And we have wonderful shepherds, we have wonderful ministers, we have wonderful deacons and other ministry leaders that help us do those things. But guess what? They all need. They need you. They need you. And again, when someone doesn't have the opportunity to serve that wants to, that's on us. But we need to each ask each other, am I doing all I can to help? Because the church needs me. And that's the truth. Can I get here? those of you that are online. Ask yourself that question. And if the question is an honest no, we're 100% supportive. But if that question is, well, I probably could get there, then do that. Do that. Why? Because we need you here. This is what God intended. So thankful for online worship, but we can't use that as a permanent solution. For the worship and the worship assembly, it's called that, it's called an assembly. I want to share some things with you from one of those church consultants and resources, Tom Rainer. In an article he wrote, "Do I Really Need to Be a Member of a Church?" And so here's what he has to say. "Church membership is a formal declaration of your commitment to a local body of believers. Yes, we're all part of God's universal church, but not everyone is a part of this church, a member of the West Irwin Church of Christ. And so those of us who are have made that commitment to this church. You are letting other members and church leaders know that you are committing to exercising your God-given gifts and roles within a local congregation. Not just out there somewhere." That's not how God designed it. God designed it with local churches. Because that's what we need, to be involved and to be serving and to be growing and to be helping. You are more than an attendee who comes and goes without commitment. Secondly, he says, "Church membership identifies you as a person who is under the care and ministry of the church." There's a reason we call them shepherds, those six men who serve as our elders, because they are shepherding us. And they're not shepherding God's universal church everywhere. Think your job is tough now, Wade. But they're shepherding this church, this flock, us. "Ministry leaders cannot care for everyone who is in and out of the church. Their primary responsibility is to the clearly identified members of this church." And again, that goes back to Ephesians chapter 4, where we are called upon to help each other grow and develop those gifts, equipping each other for works of service. That's right out of Ephesians 4. Paul told the elders of the church in Ephesus in Acts 20, verse 28, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." That's also the term bishop. "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." And a couple of things about that. Number one, those shepherds were called upon to shepherd that specific congregation in Ephesus in western modern-day Turkey. But something else Paul writes when he tells them, he says, Jesus purchased this church with his own blood. And he's not just talking about the church everywhere, although that's true. In that case, he's talking about that church, that congregation. Jesus died for the church at Ephesus. And in the same way, he purchased this church with his own blood. That makes it a little bit important, don't you think? Certainly that's how Paul saw it. The leaders cannot shepherd the flock unless they know who the flock is. Then lastly, from Tom Rainer, "Church membership is a commitment to serve. When you become a part or member of a church, you are affirming the 1 Corinthians 12 metaphor that you will be a functioning member of the body. One body, but many members. One heart, one spirit. One voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ." What an incredible thought. It's a clear picture from 1 Corinthians 12 that the body of Christ, the church, is to be comprised of functioning and serving members. For sure, many people will attend our churches. Those whom God leads to become members are affirming that they have a functioning role in the church. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to have a functioning role. And so, do you really need to be connected with the church? Absolutely, yes. Yes. Do I really need to be a member of a church? Absolutely. From Acts 2 to Revelation, the New Testament is about the local church in one way or another. The local church is God's plan A for his ministry on earth, and he did not leave us with a plan B. Do you really need to be connected with the church? Absolutely yes. Secondly, today, does God expect me to be connected with the church? Well, let's think about that with some scriptures that you have on your outline. One from the Old Testament, Psalm 122, verse 1. How sweet and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters gather together in unity. Come, let us all unite to sing. What? God is love. What a blessing, what a sweet and a wonderful fragrance that brings up to God. Romans chapter 16, all the churches of Christ greet you, Paul tells the church in the capital of the empire. Philippians 1, as Paul is addressing the church with just a few decades in existence, he acknowledges all of the members and he says, along with the elders and the deacons, already that structure that we have even still today. He writes to the Thessalonians, and in both first and the second letters, he addresses them in the same way, to the church of the Thessalonians. To the church of the Thessalonians. It's his way of saying to the West Irwin Church of Christ, if he were writing today. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, as we mentioned, talks about our gifts and being members of the same body. Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1 also speak about the church being the body of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 16, upon this rock that I am the Son of God, the Messiah, I will build my church. One of only two instances in the Gospels when that word church is used, but it's used throughout the rest of the New Testament. Why? Because it came into existence in Acts chapter 2. And we see the life and ministry of the church beginning from day one when 3,000 were added to their number. We spoke of Acts 20 and the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians 5, that same church later on, Paul writing to them. The church being the body of Christ and the body, the bride of Christ for which Christ died. That makes it important. And lots of calls in the New Testament to be encouraged and to encourage each other. In Hebrews 3 and in Hebrews 10 talks about encouraging each other daily or every week. Hebrews 10 is in the context of what we're doing right now. And it calls on us to encourage each other. And again, if you could be here and you're not simply because you don't want to be or are lazy or letting the world distract you from what you really need to do and to give, then change that, because we need you here. That's what Hebrews 10 says. We assemble together to encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Again, some people can't do that, and we get it, and that's why I'm so glad we have that. But that's not true of everybody. Paul calls us to love each other in 1 Corinthians 13. To serve one another and to have worship assemblies that are encouraging to each other. That's the purpose of the worship assembly, according to the Bible anyway. In Hebrews 10 and in 1 Corinthians 14, yes, we praise and worship God. That's what we do. That's our focus. But our purpose in doing that together is to encourage each other while we're doing that. God could have said, just do that at home in your homes. You won't be as distracted. You won't hear those songs you don't like. The preacher won't go too long. You won't hear the child noise or see that older person get up and walk out. You won't be distracted. And he could have done that, but that's not what he did. Why? Because Jesus left heaven to come to earth in the midst of the distractions. And now he calls us to do the same. To be there for each other, even if it's hard. Does God expect me to be connected with the church? Yes, he does. He writes to the Thessalonians, encourage one another with these words as he speaks about the second coming. Does God expect you to be connected with the church? Unequivocally, yes. Yes. As Danny was sharing with us around the table in that wonderful old hymn, the old rugged cross just struck him as it did so many of us. And his words as he considered that time of Jesus giving his life for us, that's what we need. We need that encouragement. And that's what happens when we come here. That's what the whole New Testament is given to us for. Does God expect you to be connected with the church? Unequivocally, yes. Finally today, should I be connected with the church? Okay, so I need it, sure, and the church needs me. God expects me to be. Scripture teaches me to, but should I be? And if you don't know the answer to that question by now, let me ask it a different way or two. Should you be connected with the saved? Should you be connected with the body of Christ? Should you be connected with the household of faith? Should you be connected with the pillar and foundation of the truth? Should you be connected with the church of the living God? Should you be connected with God's family? Should you be connected with Christ's church? Should you be connected with God's church, which He purchased with the blood of His very own Son? Should you be connected with the church? Unquestionably, yes. Yes. Connected, engaged in such a way that it's something that has priority in your life. It's important. And you tell your kids and your grandkids it's important. And you tell your friends and your neighbors, this is important to me. That's why my car leaves the driveway every Sunday morning, because this takes priority. I need that. I need that. I need the church, and I know that the church needs me. Should you be connected with the church? Unquestionably, yes. So a couple of things as we close. How do I connect with the church, Billy? Okay, you've made a great case. How do I do that? How do I connect with the church? And I'm going to do that in just two short parts. One is the response of faith. You believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You repent of your sins. You say, I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm getting on a different path. That's the word repentance. You confess that so that others will know that that's the belief that you've come to. And then you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you're raised out of that baptistry, out of that water, to live a new and different life. And that's how you connect with the church initially. But that's not the end of it. Because next is the life of faith. You're raised to live the life of faith. I preached a sermon one time entitled, Is There Life After Baptism? And the answer to that question is, yes, there is. Baptism is not the end of it. It's the beginning. That's why Scripture calls it a new birth. Are you connected with the church? Do you live the life of faith? Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Matthew talked about being disciples and making disciples. The church was in it for each other in Acts chapter 2. And the way Paul puts it to the Ephesians is simply this, live a life of love as dearly loved children yourself. What does that look like, Bill? It looks like being a part of a church. Not just the church for which Jesus died, but this church for which Jesus died. How do you connect with the culture without deleting the church? Step one is being connected with the church. And then reaching out to the people around you so that they can do the same. We're about to sing a song called Light the Fire, and it's a prayer song. It's a prayer hymn, and I hope we sing it with the vim and vigor that it deserves. And I hope as we sing this song that you are praying that prayer, that God in you, in each other, in this church will light the fire. Let's stand as we sing this song, and if you need to, come as